Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Cadillac Studios, Ed Morse is your only Cadillac dealer of the year in Broward and Dade County. This is the Alex Dotto Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
Yes! Oh, it is. It is! The Alex Dotto Show here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. Friends, we are streaming all over the internet at WQAM.com or on your smartphone, the TuneIn Radio app, radio.com app, however it is you listen. We appreciate your patronage here tonight. It is Star Wars night at the BB&T Center in Sunrise. That's where I am, as the Florida Panthers will host the San Jose Sharks here tonight. But we are a day away, 26 hours away from the Miami Hurricanes and Clemson Tigers in the ACC Championship game, a game that Miami is not supposed to win, in a game that, well, for at least the second time this season, every expert is picking against Miami. First of those being the Notre Dame game, and then they ran that one down all the so-called experts' throats. Virginia Tech game was pretty split, but heading into this one, I haven't seen or heard from any reputable, non-biased college football analyst who thinks Miami has a good chance in this football game tomorrow, and I would counter that, and I think every player on that team, every coach on that staff would counter that by saying, good, fine, because they played their best football this year when they were doubted. They played their best football this season when they have the chip on the shoulder. And I don't think that's a trait that's unique to Miami, because we've heard Nick Saban talk about the rat poison before and how difficult it is to stay on top when you are on top and everybody thinks you should be on top. When you're the hunted and you're not the hunter, it makes it a lot more difficult to bring 1,000% effort night in and night out. I think the Hurricanes learned that lesson a week ago in that Black Friday disaster at Pittsburgh, and you're going to see a better version of Miami tomorrow night. That doesn't guarantee they win the football game. I think they show up extremely energetic. I think they're going to want to rile up the 20,000-plus Hurricanes fans who do make the trip and bought tickets there. That's the number that's been reported, that the allotment of tickets being sold to Canes fans, everyone sold, so you're going to have at least 20,000 fans there at Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte, which is not a bad turnout. The problem is Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte holds 75,413 people. No, I read that wrong. 75,525 people. That's the capacity there at Bank of America Stadium. So with 20,000 Hurricanes fans, you're also going to have 55,525 Clemson fans making a lot of noise in that building. So I hope that Miami can start fast and start early and actually give those fans something to be excited for. Because, yeah, I think one of the key stats heading into that football game tomorrow night is Miami hasn't historically started fast this year. You know, they obviously got on top early in Notre Dame and Virginia Tech, and playing with that lead really helped them steamroll the opponent. But in a lot of Miami's victories, you had to do the whole come-from-behind thing, like Florida State and Georgia Tech and Virginia, and you didn't play well until late in the game against Syracuse. So you've seen the Hurricanes really struggle to find their rhythm, especially on the offensive side of the football. I mean, for the most part, the defense has been absolutely rock solid this year, and it's why you're so surprised that you couldn't get one first-teamer, all ACC, not one first-teamer on that defense. Like, forgetting about Jaquan Johnson, forgetting about Kendrick Norton. Like, you can't get one guy on that first team. None of those linebackers can get on first team. I thought it's ridiculous because Miami's defense has been tremendous all season long, but sometimes it takes the offense a while to get going. So a stat that I look at is, you know, in 11 games, in first quarters this year, the Hurricanes have only scored 54 combined points in the first quarter, whereas Clemson, who has played a game more than Miami because they didn't have a game canceled due to a hurricane like the Canes did, but Clemson in first quarters this year has scored 112 points. So 112 to 54. And I think you could get in a very, very tough predicament if Miami doesn't take an early lead. Now, on the offensive side of the football, and again, I'm not worried about the defense. Yeah, with the way they match up against Clemson's offensive front, obviously you'd like to produce pressure and you'd like to be able to take away Kelly Bryant's mobility. But I feel that defense is up to that task. But offensively for Miami, what freaks me out heading into this game is you need a young tight end or a tight end who's never caught a pass before, because that's the case for two of your guys. You need somebody at that position to step up. And if you go with your tight end spot as being mostly in blocking situations, they better block their asses off for Travis Homer and company, because losing Chris Herndon to a season-ending injury when you're heading into a matchup with the top-ranked team in the country and you're about to, in about a month, either play a bowl game or a playoff game, to lose that guy who was such a big part of your offense at the tight end position, that to me was the bigger loss this week. And, of course, I'm not discounting Amon Richards and how good he is, how good he can be. You know, he's been nursing lower body injuries all year. I think it's hampered him. You know, Amon Richards is one of your top playmakers on offense. And even when Amon Richards wasn't producing great stats and wasn't scoring a lot of touchdowns this year, he's still commanding so much attention from the defense. And I think that's the big thing that you're losing there. To take Amon Richards off that field, all of a sudden it's going to be a lot tougher for Braxton Berrios to get open and stay open. And for the other guys who can step up, like Thomas and Harley, the true freshmen there, Daryl Langham, if he can have another minor miracle in this game, Lawrence Cager, like if these guys are going to step up, it's going to be harder to do that without having Amon Richards on that field commanding attention and commanding double teams. Because even in the games when he's been hobbled and not producing, Amon Richards has been a big boon to that offense. Now, the reason why I'm less worried about the wide receiver spot than I am about the tight end spot is, at least with those names that I mentioned, you've got some depth at that position, right? I mean, you may be losing the guy who's potentially your best player at that position. I know Braxton Berrios has had the better season, but Amon Richards, athletically, when you're talking about athletic potential, is one of the most dangerous players on that offense. To lose that guy, it makes everybody's job a little bit tougher, but at least you have other horses who can step up there. Whereas at the tight end spot, you know, after Chris Herndon, you've got Michael Irvin II, who I hope plays a hell of a game tomorrow, but he's been in and out of suspensions this year, caught five passes, like he's not been consistent, so he really has to show us something tomorrow night. And then, you know, you've got Scott Patchen, who's been flipping back and forth between tight end and defensive end this year, who hasn't caught a pass. And then your other scholarship tight end is Brian Polende, who's not caught a pass in his career. So you have taken away one of the most important players from that offense in Chris Herndon, and now you really have virtually nothing to speak of left on that depth chart. And I know it's not the first time this year that Miami has lost one of the most important players on their offense. So you go back to the Florida State game, October 7th, you lost Mark Walton for the year. Before the season started, I kept saying, and I believed it at the time, that the one injury you could not survive for Hurricanes football, like the one guy who was irreplaceable, was Mark Walton. They ended up losing Mark Walton, still get double-digit wins in an ACC title appearance, so that's very impressive. That's a testament to coaching. That's a testament to Malik Rozier playing well for most of the year, and that's a testament to Travis Homer stepping up and playing great, and to DJ Dallas stepping up to become a very good backup and the runner of the Wildcat. So next-man-up mentality to this point has worked for Miami at running back, and I think it's going to work at wide receiver, but I'm not convinced yet that it's going to work at tight end. That's something I've got to see tomorrow night. I want to hear some audio here as we try to get people excited. I'm glad that Hawk, after he was done talking about sticky buns, played that little song of his. He was dancing around the studio trying to get people pumped up for tomorrow night, because I don't feel enough of that. It's weird. Heading into this weekend, considering how jazzed people have been about Hurricanes football when the winning streak, you know, dating back to last year, built up to 12. 13, 14, 15 games. You're ranked number two in the country. It's been a fever pitch in this town with excitement for Miami Hurricanes football. And then you lose one bad game to Pittsburgh, and it's like a balloon has been deflated. And I know it's not the case with everybody, because I understand that a lot of you who listen to my show, because you know how much I love the Canes, you know how much I love that university, I get the diehards. The diehards are the people who tweet me, who text me every night, who call into my show. I'm not talking about you, the diehards. If you are one of those people, maybe you're in the car driving up to Charlotte right now listening to us on the app. Maybe you're at the airport listening to us. You're in the terminal waiting to get on a plane in Charlotte. God bless the 20,000 of you who are making the trip up there. And God bless the rest of you who couldn't leave town but will be supporting your Canes at home or wherever and wearing your turnover chains. God bless all of you. But you cannot deny that the buzz in this city since losing that Pittsburgh game, that the buzz has been very deflated. And it's very surprising to me. What, because you lost one game, you're jumping off the bandwagon? You understand that all of your goals are still in front of you. You understand that you can still win the ACC. You can still, with a good game tomorrow night, you can still beat the number one team in the country. And most importantly, you can still get into the college football playoff. Because I do believe that will happen if Miami wins. I know that there are some doomsday scenarios that maybe Miami could win the ACC and still get left out at number five. I'm only going to think about the things that that team can control right now. And with a victory tomorrow night, you not only win the ACC, but I also believe you are back into that college football playoff. And so what, you played one crappy game last week. You lost one shocker. You got upset one time. Don't act like the ride's over. The ride is still very much going on for this team. I get it that if last week's loss took you out of the Coastal, it took you out of the ACC running, it took you out of the running for a college football playoff, I could understand being damaged and downtrodden by that. But losing that game, the great news is apparently that was a pretty good game to lose because all of your goals are still in front of you. And I think that's a serious blessing. But I want to hear from Dabo Swinney and I want to hear from Mark Richt. These are the two opposing coaches for tomorrow night's ACC championship game. And by the way, College Game Day is going to be there in Charlotte. So second time that College Game Day has featured a Miami Hurricanes game this year. And Uncle Luke is going to be the guest picker. I thought Uncle Luke should have done the one in Miami. No disrespect to Alex Rodriguez, but how lame is that guy? And he put on that like styrofoam turnover chain. I thought Uncle Luke, Luther Campbell, should have been the representative in South Florida, but at least they're getting it right now, and they're giving Uncle Luke the chance to be the guest picker tomorrow. But here is Clemson head coach Dabo Swinney, who I like. I'm a fan of Dabo. He's explaining that every game at Clemson is a big game, and his guys are ready for this one.
But the leadership of our team, there's no question when you've got guys that have been there and have experienced big games, you know, they understand that it's just kind of what we do. You know, I mean, every week is a big game. If you come to Clemson, I don't care who we play, it's going to be the biggest game of the year because we're Clemson. And you know, we've won 81 games in 7 years. So that's a lot of games. So trust me, when we line up to play, you're going to get every opponent's best version of themselves every single week. Maximum juice, maximum energy. And so from our standpoint, our guys just understand that.
And that's where Miami is getting to now. To everything that Dabo just said, if Mark Richt were to say the same thing 2 years from now, 5 years from now, it would totally fit because that's the point Miami is now reaching where every team you play, and I think this has even been true for Miami football, even the years they haven't been so good, because beating the U has meant something. Even when Miami has stunk, beating the U still means something to opposing teams. But you're especially seeing it this year that, you know, you got the best shot from Syracuse, who, by the way, did beat Clemson this year. You got the best shot from Virginia. You obviously got Pittsburgh's best performance of the year when they beat Miami last week. And Florida State probably played their best game against Miami when they narrowly lost that game in Tallahassee back in October. You're reaching a point now where you put on that Hurricanes uniform. Every game is a massive game. And every team looks at the opportunity to beat you as an opportunity to shock the world and be the front page of every paper, top story on SportsCenter. Like that's what it means to play big-time college football. Here's Dabo Swinney talking about Miami's defense and their strengths.
Well, what doesn't impress me? And they're a complete team. I mean, they're 11-1, and they have awesome experience to draw upon from this season. They've been in some huge games, and they've come up big time and time again. But if you just, you know, I mean, you just pin it down, they're a lot like us. I mean, the first thing you're going to say is, man, their defense is special. I mean, they lead the nation in turnover margin. They got the chain going and all that stuff. I mean, right. they are number one in the nation in sacks. They're second in the nation in tackles for loss. So when you turn the tape on, they look like us up front, man. They got some dudes at number 9 and 99 and 80 and 7. The backers can run. They got great skill on the back end. I mean, they're just really, really elite on defense.
You know, and I also I caught this quote in Susan Miller Degnan in a column she wrote today in the Herald that Dabo said, well, you know, the turnover chain, that's not going to decide the game. We've got 77 points off turnovers this year. Miami has 72 points off turnovers this year. I like the fact that he's even talking about the turnover chain. It's like what Manny Diaz said a couple of weeks ago about the chain. It's like a ticking time bomb that gets in your head, right? It gets in your head. When coaches start talking about it and thinking about it and talking about it with their players, it becomes this mental warfare where the first time you see that turnover chain come out, it discourages the opposing team so much, I think it leads to more turnovers. And so I think Miami, another thing Miami has to do early in the game, I talk about a fast start on offense, and then you need a fast start on defense, try to force a fumble and grab an interception as well. Here's Mark Richt on Miami getting in to finally getting into that ACC championship game.
Well, we set out to be the team that was going to go to Charlotte for the first time ever. You know, it's kind of shocking that Miami's been in the league as long as we have, and we haven't made it to that game. So we talked a lot about the fact that one day some Miami team was going to make it. Some Miami team was going to win the Coastal. Some Miami team was going to go to Charlotte. And some Miami team, sooner or later, is going to win the ACC championship. So I just kept challenging, is it going to be us or not? And so far, we're at least getting to Charlotte, and we'll see how it goes when we get there.
And here's Mark Richt talking about another key matchup. I wanted to save this for Coach Richt to talk about it. Clemson's defensive line is fearsome. I mean, one of the reasons why Miami doesn't have any first-team All-ACC guys is because Clemson keeps clogging up that defensive line. Both of their defensive tackles are first-team All-ACC. Here's Mark Richt on Clemson's defensive front.
I would say their D-line is pretty good. It's not bad, big, strong, physical. I mean, they're batting balls down. They're knocking down quarterbacks. They're stuffing the run. They're really good.
That's Mark Richt, Miami Hurricanes head coach. His team prepares to face the Clemson Tigers tomorrow night in the ACC championship game. We're going to talk some Dolphins with Omar Kelly coming up. Dolphins will try and beat the Dolphins, who've lost 5 straight games, will try and get off the schneid when they welcome in a Denver Broncos team that has lost 7 straight games. You got that Adam Gase coaching tree. Adam Gase, the teacher, going up against the student, Vance Joseph, his former defensive coordinator. The Adam Gase coaching tree has combined for 12 consecutive losses. Somebody will break that schneid on Sunday. I hope it's the Miami Dolphins, of course. Omar Kelly's going to join us next. But, man, I want to talk about the Quarterdeck Seafood Bar and Neighborhood Grill. The Quarterdeck is my spot to watch every big game, every big pay-per-view fight. UFC 218 tomorrow. Get pumped for that. Max Holloway defending his belt against Jose Aldo in the rematch. Alistair Overeem against Francis Ngannou in a heavyweight throwdown. It's going to be so good tomorrow. And they have it at the Quarterdeck Seafood Bar and Neighborhood Grill at every location for zero cover charge. You pay nothing at the door for a UFC pay-per-view fight. Great place to watch the ACC championship game. Great place to watch every Panthers and Heat game. The Quarterdeck Seafood Bar and Neighborhood Grill. The food there is delicious, my friends. You know I love the fresh seafood, the world-class sushi, the oysters and Maine lobster. The stone crab chowder is so good. The buffalo shrimp are my favorite appetizer there. I love the chicken wings at the Quarterdeck. The chicken ciabatta sandwich with the fresh mozzarella cheese and the tater tots on the side is so good. Meat falls off the bone, baby back ribs, they are so tender. But save room for dessert because the key lime cheesecake, that is the perfect way to finish every meal. And you wash it all down with the 2-for-1 happy hour all day, every day. They have a spirit master concocting all the best craft cocktails. The wine selection is impressive at the Quarterdeck. What you want to do is you want to find the location nearest to you by visiting them on the internet at quarterdeckrestaurants.com, and thank me later, because the Quarterdeck is where you come for the food and stay for the fun.
This podcast is presented by David Lowe and Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. This podcast was presented by David Lowe and Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM.
here on the Alex Dono Show, Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. I'm broadcasting live at the BB&T Center in Sunrise. Great hockey tonight. Hope you join us here at BB&T for Star Wars Night. Florida Panthers hosting the San Jose Sharks at 7:30 face-off, which means a 7 o'clock pregame here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. But we go out now to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. It's time to talk to Omar Kelly. He is brought to you by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. This is how it's done. Omar, how you doing tonight, man?
I'm good. How you doing, Dono?
I'm doing very well, man. I'm just I'm always trying to look for ways to get pumped about Dolphins football. It's been very hard with this team losing five straight.
You know, and I've noticed, and I'll say it to you because you're out there on a regular basis with me. You know how they've always been upbeat and always been like, you know, we're one win away and always been able to keep their chins up. Well, this is the first time that we really had a chin down kind of moment. To me, it started with, you know, Adam Gase's press conference Thursday. Basically, it was 3 minutes and 20 seconds. Reason it was 3 minutes and 20 seconds was because he came in such a foul mood that, you know, the final question was basically, we suck and we need to figure out a way to not suck. Coaches suck, players suck, everybody's playing bad, and we need to figure out a way to not suck, otherwise we're going to suck. And I'm just paraphrasing, of course, but it kind of set the tone, and it was just like, okay, nothing more needs to be said. Thanks. All right.
Omar.
Go
ahead and finish your thought.
And, you know, and then we go into the locker room, and basically it was kind of the same tone. Like, we just need to win one game. Once we win one game, you know, we can talk about. But all the favorable stuff, all the positive stuff, it's like, you know, the fight had been beaten out of them. And this is first time I've really seen that in Adam Gase's tenure.
And with that said, Omar, is there any evidence that Gase is losing control or losing the locker room, anything like that?
It would take a little bit more research for that, to be honest with you. I don't think players are quitting. You know, people who always say, oh, players are quitting or they check out. You know, at some point they do check out. It's probably like in mid-December when they know they just basically have to make it through the rest of these games without getting injured. But I don't see them quitting. What I see is, you know, a team that's really, really struggling right now offensively, a team that doesn't have any identity, and a team where their defense can't hold them up and prop them up anymore because they've sustained enough injuries or physically they've worn down to the point where they're sort of getting picked apart. And it's not really their fault because they've had to deal with a burdensome amount of snap counts. And when your offense is just struggling as it has all season, right now, numbers-wise, the Dolphins are on pace to produce the fewest points in a 16-game Dolphins schedule for the entire franchise history. So that should lead you to understand exactly how much they're struggling. This is an offense that's worse than the 2007 Dolphins offense that, you know, and that team won one game. So put all of that in perspective, and you'll kind of understand where this team is as an organization right now.
You know, Omar, it's been about a month since the Jay Ajayi trade. Has your opinion changed on that one way or another since? Was that a bad move, or has that maybe been validated as the right move? How do you feel about that?
No, my opinion was never going to change for two reasons. One, I don't believe, while I think Jay Ajayi is a very talented back and is going to have a good NFL career in the short term, you know, would I be surprised if he's out of the NFL in 2 years? Absolutely not. I just don't think he has going to have a good shelf life. Like, a lot of reasons why a second-round talent fell into the fifth round was because most teams took them off the board thinking he'll never get to a second contract. And Jay's had so many medical issues and so many medical concerns. And, you know, even the Dolphins, they admitted that, you know, we weren't going to give Jay Ajayi a second contract. So, you know, you could have had him serve as a featured back this year, but what point would that have really done, because it wasn't going to help you become a better franchise moving forward? And truth be told, whether it was Damian Williams, Jay Ajayi, or Kenyon Drake, this offense was going nowhere with this offensive line. So you might as well invest in your young players and see what you have in a Kenyon Drake. And to be honest with you, he's the only reason I'm excited about Sunday's game. I'm going to get an opportunity to see what this kid has got, one way or the other. Because if he's good, which I think he has the potential to be good, there's some talent there. I don't know if it's a 30-snap-per-game talent or a 15-snap-per-game talent, but there's some talent there. But if he's good, then running back drops from my number one priority or position of concern for the Dolphins. But right now, it presently sits as my number one position of concern.
And I can understand why, especially right now with Kenyon Drake being really the only guy healthy. So we know he's not losing any carries to Damian Williams this week. I mean, what's that depth chart going to look like, Omar, on Sunday at running back? Because Damian Williams and Sonoris Perry both banged up.
Yeah, Sonoris Perry's still in the concussion protocol. There's a good chance that he could be cleared out of it tomorrow. But if that doesn't happen, they're going to go with Davion Smith, rookie from University of Michigan, as the number two back going into that game. And, you know, it is what it is. I mean, we might be looking at a backfield where Jarvis Landry carries the ball a couple of times. I mean, this is unfortunately just where they are as an organization. And, you know, as bad as you want to think it is at running back, you know, it's even worse at defensive end to me, just because William Hayes was like the only reason you could actually stop the run, you know, earlier in the season. As he's taken on some injuries and he's worn down and then he wasn't on the field last week, you saw anybody can do anything they want against the Dolphins defense because they can run. And to me, that's harder. That's a leak that's harder to fill or plug than how can you get by without Damian Williams? Because, you know, Kenyon Drake probably has a little bit more talent than Damian Williams. He's not as polished, but he has more talent and more upside. William Hayes, there isn't really another person on the roster who could do what he does, which is contain and set the edge. You know, Cameron Wake, you can play him more snaps, but, you know, Cameron Wake's, what, 36? I don't even know how old he is every time I say it.
It's either 35 or 36. I think you stop counting, like, after a certain point
for
NFL players. When you get to be that old, you stop counting.
Yeah. Cameron Wake is like, shouldn't be in the NFL 4 years ago. Let's just put it that way. From an age standpoint. So you're not going to ask him to play 40 to 50 snaps. Then Terrence Fidday is the one that's setting the edge. Let's be real about it. And I like Terrence Fidday, but he's not really an impactful player. And then Charles Harris, your first-round pick, you knew the one limitation about this young player, this rookie, was the fact that he could not stop the run and he could not be an edge setter. And lo and behold, okay, you can't ask a guy to do something that he's not good at. It just doesn't make any sense. You might be able to ask him for like five snaps, but you can't say, okay, Charles Harris, all of a sudden we need you to go be William Hayes. All right, cool. You got it? Thanks. All right, no problem. So what do you do? You put the best recipe to me is putting Dominican Sue out on as defensive end on running plays and then have Vincent Taylor probably step up and play an elevated snap at defensive tackle. I mean, that's your only option, and it's not really a good option.
We are joined here by Omar Kelly, covers the Miami Dolphins.
Am I depressing you, Alex?
What's that?
Am I depressing you?
Well, no, it's not you.
Myself.
It's Dolphins football. I mean, it's not your fault. Like, what are you going to tell me? It's going to excite me. And how about this one, Omar? The Adam Gase coaching tree collides this Sunday, and Adam Gase and Vance Joseph have combined for 12 straight losses. Which team gets off that schneid on Sunday? Which team gets that elusive victory?
I think it's Miami just from this standpoint. The Dolphins have a little bit better of a quarterback situation. Not much, but a little bit better. Jay Cutler comes back, and, you know, for whatever you want to think about him, he's better than Trevor Siemian. And really for a number of reasons, it hasn't really clicked for Jay Cutler this season. Nobody's shedding a tear for him because he's walking away with a $10 million paycheck, which is more than everybody but Ndamukong Suh will make this season. So do not shed a tear for him. However, I will say this. The issues that he's having aren't going away. He's got chemistry issues with his weaponry. He's got protection issues with his offensive line. And he's playing like a 34-year-old quarterback, which he is. So, you know, those things aren't going to go away. So expect what you can expect from the NFL's 30th best offense.
Omar, you got Canes or Clemson?
The The Hurricane fan in me wants to say Hurricane so bad. It really does. But the sports journalist in me looks at how they played their last game, the fact that they're a young team and have always been a team that struggled emotionally, bouncing back when they get punched in the face. And that's either with Al Golden or with Mark Richt. They're just not a team that's emotionally been able to bounce back very well. And then also, this is going to be a home game for Clemson, pretty much. So I'm going to have to say Clemson. I hope it goes the other way, but I'm an educated sports writer who's an analyst, and I just, you know, Kane's got to get hot, and I just don't see how they could do that.
All right, well, now you've officially depressed me. Now you pushed me over the edge.
Yeah, man. I'll be watching that game, I think, and really be hoping that they get their mojo back, and it'll show me that you know, Mark Richt. I really thought that they turned a corner until that Pittsburgh game. Immature teams take their foot off the gas. They clearly took their foot off the gas, and immature teams also struggle to bounce back after they've been up against the ropes. And they weren't up against the ropes. They got knocked down on the canvas. And you know, you've covered those Hurricanes.
Oh yeah.
You know when they get knocked down on the canvas, they stagger around for a couple of rounds after that.
I'm just hoping it's different now, Omar. I am hoping it's different. You can check out Omar Kelly on Twitter, at Omar Kelly. Check out his work in the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Omar is brought to you every week by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. This is how it's done. Omar, thank you so much, man. I'll see you at the game on Sunday.
All right, Donna.
Good stuff there as always from Omar. Although he did bring my mood down a little bit. Not so much with the Dolphin stuff, because it's undeniable. But when it comes to the Kane stuff, I'm cautiously optimistic about tomorrow night. I'm very optimistic about Star Wars night here at the BB&T Center. Doug Plagans is going to join me next. Panthers and Sharks tonight, right here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
This podcast is presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. This podcast was presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM.
On the Canes and the Clemson game tomorrow, I'm just pointing out the things I'm concerned about. You want my prediction on the game? I'm going Miami 34, Clemson 20. I think Miami has America right where they want them, and that is doubting them. I think the defense shows up in a big way tomorrow, forces three turnovers. I've got the Canes by two touchdowns. I would have the Panthers by two touchdowns if that were possible here tonight, as the Cats welcome in the San Jose Sharks on Star Wars night. Doug Plagans, the voice of the Cats, how are you this evening, sir?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm doing very well. And, wow, the Panthers come home from a very nice stretch. Wins in New Jersey and New York, looking very good these last couple of nights. I've had a couple of nights off since that trip. What are you looking for from the Cats this evening?
A lot of the same, and that's what's worked for this Panthers team. And I think the big thing and a common theme when I talked to some of the guys after morning skate today is that the team found ways to win in those games on the road at New Jersey and at New York. Those were two very good teams. I mean, the Devils were leading the Metro Division when the Panthers played them on Monday. And when the Panthers visited Madison Square Garden on Tuesday, the Rangers were on an 8-game home winning streak. So the Panthers were able to do something that not a lot of teams have done this season, and that's win at Madison Square Garden. And for the Panthers in each of those games, you saw the opposition find ways to respond. And the games were tied late, but the Panthers found ways to win those games. And it was pointed out by a couple of the guys after morning skate today. They had some games earlier this season where they felt that they played really well enough to win some games and didn't get a point or two out of those. Those last two, though, the Panthers were able to play a consistent 60 minutes, and even though the opposition tied the games late, they were able to find ways to win and get the 2 points in regulation both nights. And that's why a play like that Dennis Malgin goal that was the eventual game winner on Tuesday is something that you might, and the Jared McCann goal that was the eventual game winner on Monday, those are plays that you might look back to later on in the season and say that was, you know, it was a big play when it happened, but you might look back to it and say that was even bigger than it was at the time because of how big the points can be later in the year.
He's Doug Plagans, the voice of the Panthers. He will have the call alongside Bill Lindsay. Pre-game is coming up here in just moments. It is Star Wars night, which means Manny Chang has his Chewbacca socks on this evening. Florida Panthers and San Jose Sharks coming up next here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
This podcast is presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. This podcast was presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.